Hello, guys. Welcome back to How Did I Get Here? It is me, Alexa. And we are here with a very, very, very special guest, which is Sam Abington.
Yes. That is the million dollar question. How did I get here?
Indeed. Are you familiar with our podcast, sir?
I'd be lying if I said no.
All right, fair enough.
I am. I'd be lying if I said otherwise.
As obliged.
Dive Studios. I've been in here before many a time. I've never sat at this table in this vicinity before.
Oh.
It's usually about, I'd say, 57.5 centimeters that direction with a few more chairs around it and a lot more people sitting around it watching YouTube videos and not doing much of anything.
Well,
Diane eating tacos and burritos and watching, the news and watching, listening to music on YouTube generally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's usually kind of like the meeting table before we do our podcast. And our podcast is all the way over that side of
right,
the studio.
The other side of the studio.
We get the Dive Studio sign behind us.
We get blue velvet curtain.
Big. Because whenever I watched the podcast, I never kind of worked out where you guys were when you filmed it.
Okay.
And now it's really intimidating because you have like cameras in front of you and we kind of sit opposite each other and just kind of talk.
Right.
Now it feels like I'm talking to, I don't know who.
That's okay.
Awkward.
That just leads to the question, how did I get here?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like a vicious cycle. How did I get here? It's a never-ending question.
But for those of you who are not familiar with our podcast, welcome to How Did I Get Here, where we live our best lives on the internet and come out on the other side knowing more but not feeling that much smarter. My good sir, do you have any clue as to what that means?
It's like the story of our lives, isn't it?
Mm.
We never actually come out any smarter than what we think we did. And we tell ourselves, I know everything now. And then you actually sit down and you're like, I just spent the last 2 hours reading up about something and I still don't know what I read about.
There you go.
Yeah. Beautiful. There was no conclusion to any of that. I just read and read and read and I tell myself, yeah, now I know everything. And someone's like, explain it to me. And you're like, yeah, no, go and read on Wikipedia.
There you go. At the end of the day, if you don't know, Wikipedia is there for you. Not sponsored. Thank you. All right. Yes. So those of you who may or may not be familiar with our podcast or Dive Studios in general, Sam here also has a pretty bomb podcast called Nonsensible. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Okay. When this goes to air, I'm going to say we're almost at our, we're probably at about our year anniversary.
Oh.
We're getting towards episode 52.
Oh, dang.
We're almost there. So, Nonsensible, it's myself and Dave. And Saul actually joined us as a regular on the podcast recently. So, it's the three of us. And we sit down and have a guest join us every week. And the title sort of sums it up much like this. Nonsensible. It's just nonsense. Nothing makes any sense. And you walk away from the end of the podcast and you're like, yeah, there's no summary. There's no conclusion. It's just random musings between four people. And we go backwards and forwards. And sometimes it's stories of growing up in different parts of the world. Sometimes it's commentaries on life. It could go in any direction depending on who the guest is in the studio. For example, it could be how delicious cinnamon rolls are with ketchup. Yeah, I know. Hard to believe. And I still don't believe it. But, when a guest comes on and tells you that, you kind of have to agree with them somewhat and disagree with them at the same time.
Yeah.
And when they leave the studio, you can just say that's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
There we go.
Because they're not going to come back and argue with you after that.
They're never going to know.
Yeah. Unless they watch this podcast.
True. In which case, now you know. But
hi, Chubby. Yeah. Ooh. It was great having you on the show. She's adorable. She's adorable. She was a lot of fun.
She looks so cute. I watched the episode. I really didn't know who she was until I saw the episode, but she's so adorable.
She was so much fun. I still don't agree with her taste in food, but she was so much fun.
That is a wee bit questionable, but I'm just going to hop off of the cinnamon rolls with ketchup train and hop into the meat of today. So.
Segue.
Ooh, segue.
I like it.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah.
So you, my good sir, are indeed a parent. So today's topic is, should parents trust their kids?
Oh, you're just throwing the question straight at me.
I am. Straight as an arrow. Ding.
No. Show's over. Let's go
Thank
home.
Thank you. Bye.
Done. Yeah. Wow. That was, how did I get here? See you next week, guys. Well, this is it's a question on so many different levels because it really comes down to trust. What is trust? You have to give trust to be able to gain trust.
Mm-hmm.
So if for me to be able to trust my children, they need to be able to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And if my children can't trust me, I don't think it's fair for mm-hmm. me to expect them to reciprocate that trust. You know, trust is something that I think it is really important in any kind of relationship, mm-hmm. but more so with parents and children.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my children are particularly young, so I think trust is something that we're still working on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they kind of tell me white lies and little fibs.
Of course.
Completely acceptable. And I think white lies is something that I still tell them. Like, mm-hmm. I go through the motions of, you know, if you don't behave, we may end up putting you on top of the mountain and you may have to live with the wolves.
There you go.
Yeah. And that works because it pulls them into line.
Mm-hmm.
But it is about, you know, you need to be able to trust your parents. And it's, mm-hmm. you remember the trust game where it's, I don't know if you've ever played it, and you kind of stand on a table and you have six friends.
And you fall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about grabbing them as they fall.
Right.
I think as a parent, that's what you need to instill in your children. Like, you need to be able to fall backwards and know that I'm going to be there to grab you.
Right.
So for me, that's, I need to be able to trust my children. They need to be able to trust me. And if that doesn't exist, I think the relationship is just, it's non-existent.
That's a fantastic way to put it, though.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic way to put it.
I mean, is that the episode over?
there's a lot we got to delve into, my good sir.
It's one of those black holes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's so many different directions you could take this.
I mean, you said your kids are quite young. How young are they, if you don't mind?
So, William right now, so he turns 5. Western Age in July.
Ooh.
So Bentley turns 4 Western Age in November. Yeah, 3 and 4 at the moment.
Okay.
I get confused because we have Korean Age and Western Age. Uh-huh. And it just, it's really confusing. And then people talk about, you know, they tell you the age in months.
Mm, right.
And like I see all these memes on the internet and they're like, yeah, my child is 245 months. And it's like, okay, that's really funny. But from a parent's standpoint, I kind of understand it mm-hmm. because like at an early age, 3 months difference, there's such a big difference in their development.
Mm.
And that's what parents are trying to allow you to understand. Like my child is 5 months more advanced than your child. So that's why their speech development, or they may be walking at such a different, or they're running, or they're doing these different things. It's kind of, it's allowing them to understand that, okay, there's that developmental stage that they're more advanced than mm-hmm. my child. It's not trying to make it more complicated
right.
for the processing.
Right.
But you also have, we have a Western age and a Korean age. Uh-huh. So if you're like, are they 5? And you're like, okay, is that Western age or Korean age? And you're like, let me think. And then you've got to process again. It's just like months. Once you get to a certain age, you tend to just say years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when they're young and like 2 months, 3 months, that developmental stage is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is immense.
Well, dang.
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way because I've also seen the memes that are like, my kid is 482 months old. But it's like, but I never thought about like the developmental stages in that sense.
I saw someone I know did that the other day. And
oh, no.
And I'm like, I'm like, that's really funny. And then I'm like, you don't have children. So you don't really understand. You don't grasp the concept of that, why people say that.
Right.
So once you have children, you're going to sit back and you're going to think, oh my God, now I get it. That was actually kind of, it's the whole, like at the moment we have an issue here in Korea. With people living in apartments, and there's the whole the noise that children are making in the upper levels.
Yep.
And it's interesting because a lot of the people that are complaining in the lower levels are generally people that don't have children. I recently moved from an apartment into a house because, you know, we didn't want to keep telling our kids, stop running, stop running, stop running, because the stress you're giving to the kids, it's unfair. They don't know any better. They're growing up and they're two young boys. It's like, I got to run. Let me go wild. And you're like, don't run, don't run, don't run all day. They don't know any better. But you don't want to stress out the neighbors downstairs.
Right.
But the apartment we were living in, the upstairs neighbors, their kids were running until like 11 o'clock at night. But being that we've got kids of our own, it was just like, whatever. It wasn't something we were going to lose sleep over. Until you've experienced it.
Right.
Until you've walked a mile in someone else's shoes, you don't understand.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess as a society, I think right now with COVID and everything, people are a little on edge and a little tense. Maybe we just need to be a little bit more understanding of people's circumstances.
Okay, I could see that. I could see that. All right, well, seeing as your kids are still quite young and not yet teenagers, have you noticed any, like, behavioral patterns, like expressions or tones and voices whenever they lie to you blatantly? Like, how can you tell if your kids are lying?
Oh. That's a good one. I haven't really picked up on that yet.
Oh.
Part of it is, though, like, my mum always said, she's like, I've done everything you did growing up. And I'm like, sure, you didn't do half the things I've done growing up, mum. I'm like, you're so full of it. You haven't, I'm like, no, you didn't do half the things I did. And lo and behold, she knew exactly what I was trying to get away with.
Yep.
And I'm going through that now with my children.
Okay.
So it's like, yeah, I know exactly what you're trying to pull the wool over my eyes. You're not getting away with it. They don't have the tells yet, but I'm starting to get ready for it. You know, you kind of get the eyeballs going. I think it's
right.
They go up to the right. Like they start kind of, that's one of the things.
Okay.
William kind of, he starts kind of looking around. He can't look you in the eye. Yeah, there's small tells.
Okay, so we're getting there. We're getting there. Because this study from Psychology Today says most kids lie to their parents sometimes. That's an understatement. I feel like it's more than sometimes. For example, in a study involving 121 high school students, 120 of them, so only minus one, listed as at least one area they tried to lie to their parents about. In general, and not surprisingly, the more kids lie, the more trouble they get into. The worse they get along with their parents and the less they feel trusted. I feel like that's a given, though.
Yeah, that's just common sense, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. But then again, you know, you got to take into factor the whole compulsive lying thing, but I'm not sure how that's developed or anything, but…
I think, like, the other thing is it's also how the parents kind of, you know, don't lie to me, don't lie to me. If you kind of keep enforcing it, it kind of snowballs.
Exactly.
So they're like, oh, I don't want to, mum and dad said don't lie, but if I say this and like, you kind of get caught in that trap. So then you're like, I know I shouldn't be lying, but if I say this, if I tell them the truth, they're going to get angry. So you start lying so that they don't get angry, but you know they're going to get angry if they find out that you're lying. Either way, that you're going to get angry. It's like, how do I avoid them getting angry? It's like, oh my God, it doesn't matter what I do, they're going to get angry at me.
You just keep digging your grave deeper and deeper and deeper until you're like at the core of the earth and you're like, well, what do I do now? I'm screwed.
Yeah. So it's like, how deep do I go?
I don't know. I mean, again, when it comes to lies, like white lies, I feel like those are okay growing up. And I mean, like you said, you as a parent and me still as an adult, I tell white lies every now and then. As long as nobody gets hurt, then I mean.
Yeah. You tell yourself white lies are okay, but it's you start with one white lie and then it turns into two and three and four.
Oh,
and,
you're right.
Yeah. If it kind of develops into it turns into a monster, then it becomes problematic.
True. True.
I don't know what to say.
It's a complicated topic to tackle.
It feels like my whole life is a lie right now.
Yeah. But why is that? Why is that, my good sir?
That's such a difficult question to answer.
Mm.
Yeah, because then I'd be unraveling too many truths.
Well, it's okay. This isn't Get Real, so no worries. You don't have to get too real here. So, this is how did I get here? Meaning you can just question everything and be like, yep.
I like that.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's see. Just for some quick statistics hopping in. Apparently, for 38% of the issues that kids lie to their parents about, both mothers and teens agreed that they disagreed on said topic. Following 22.8% of the cases, both mothers and adolescents agreed that they agreed on a certain topic. Whereas almost 40% of the cases, the mothers and adolescents disagreed about their agreement. Okay, but what about the fathers? We have a father here.
Yeah.
What about the fathers?
Here's where it gets tricky. I raising children, I tend to go by the good cop, bad cop rule of thumb.
Okay.
I try to tell my wife we need to try and be on the same train of thought with everything. Like if, for example, I say to William, okay, that's enough iPad for today. And my wife needs to be on the same enough iPad. But if she turns around and says, okay, 30 minutes more, I'm like, hang on. You've just destroyed my whole theory here. It's kind of like we're not on the same plane here.
Right.
Good cop, bad cop. You know, I can be I'll be the enforcer and then mum comes in and kind of like, you know, you got to listen to your dad. Kind of, you know, kind of bring him up.
Right.
With that, it kind of, you know, you can have the disagreements and someone, you know, they can disagree, but then you can have the other person on the other side who agrees with you. So it's kind of the backwards and forwards, which means that you never feel like you're being ganged up against with your parents, which it should never be that.
Exactly.
Because it's not a battle of the wits. It's not a war. It's a relationship. It's a family and you're raising children. It shouldn't be parents against kids. It's none of that. It's about making an environment where everyone's comfortable. But as a parent, you're older, you've got more life experience. You're just trying to put them on a path that's going to be easier for them.
Right.
And you want them to go in the right direction in life without having too many difficulties and too many struggles.
Right.
It's like a battle of the wits. It's almost like a game show. It's like Jeopardy. It's like Jeopardy but it's like for millions of dollars.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Have you ever experienced your parents having a hard time trusting you? If we flip back to our childhoods, was there ever a moment when like your mom or dad was like, I can't trust you about this?
Many a time.
Yeah.
The things my mother caught me doing. My mother, she caught me sneaking into her purse.
Oh.
I used to have after school, I'd go to the video arcade.
Oh.
And I mean, it was just, you know, the small, $1, $2.
$20.
I wish. I think I would have got caught too many a times if it was that much money. Things like that. It was interesting though. I think she generally trusted me because a lot of the things she'd say to me, she's like, you know, she's like, if you ever have a girlfriend, bring her over and she can sleep the night. Sleep the night stay the night at home, which for me was always like, that's kind of like one of the biggest signs of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Have your girlfriend stay over at your house under the same roof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of her thoughts behind that was, is she's like, I don't want you going out. I don't know where you're going and spending the night, and I don't want you getting in trouble in a strange environment. She's like, I'd rather you being in your home environment if you're going to get up to any kind of hanky-panky. She's like, do it under my roof, and at least I know you're safe under my roof.
Right.
She's like, I won't be by the door with the cup and, you know, up to the door listening. She's like, don't worry about that. And even growing up, in Australia, when you turn 18, you can drink legally.
Oh, 18. Yeah. Okay.
But prior to that, you have parties and there's generally alcohol there. And I'd say to Mum, I'm having a party at a friend's house. And my mother, I remember my mother actually buying me alcohol. And her philosophy being that I'd rather know how much you were going to drink as opposed to you going out and getting a ridiculous amount of alcohol and doing something stupid.
Right. Okay.
Which actually, now that I think about it, maybe she didn't trust me. I don't know if that is a trust issue or not.
I mean, that particularly is interesting because in America, depending on the state, technically when you're 18, you can drink within your own house. Mm-hmm. But then when you're 21, that's when you can go outside your house and drink and everything. But there's always those memes floating around the internet of kids talking to their parents, but whatever it is, the parent is always like, well, I'd rather you be here so I know what you're doing and I can control the situation. Which, it's a good thing, but it's also is that because you trust or you don't trust?
Yeah.
Which is it?
I had this growing up, my mum was always like, her bedroom was right by the front door of the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And she's like, go out. I don't care what you do. She's going, go out and do whatever you're going to do. Have fun. And she's like, make sure you come home every night. She's like, if you don't come home, you got to call me. And it was kind of like I'd get home at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'd be opening the door as quietly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Slight squeak.
Yep.
And you're like, don't squeak.
Oh. Right.
You'd close it and you'd lock it. Is that you, Sam?
Oh.
You're like, what the? Are you awake? She's like, I knew you weren't home yet and I couldn't get to sleep.
Moms do that.
I'm like, you what? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. You haven't been asleep. She's like, well, I was worried because you hadn't come home. And oh my goodness. So it's not trusting, but it's kind of like the whole worry factor.
Right.
When you're, and that wasn't even that I was young, even in my 20s.
Right.
And even after I'd left the house and maybe I was back in Australia for a holiday and I was out with friends, it was the same thing. I guess once you have children, it's kind of the whole different story.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about my children going out and getting home at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
I guess they're still young.
That's many years ahead. Oh, gosh. That just raises the question. But what about and when parents lie to their kids and that kind of trust is in there, oof.
Oh, see, that's really worrying. If I start lying to my children, you go down that rabbit hole that you're not coming back from.
So this specific topic was covered in the Washington Post. They spoke with Vicky Huffel, yes, an author and a parent educator about the different types of lies parents may tell as they raise their kids and how to best navigate honesty in order to build open communication. Apparently, between ages of 5 and 7, children will generally start asking whether Santa or other kind of figures like that are real. When they ask, they are often ready to know the truth, Vicky had said. Parents can share how much fun it was to believe in such things when they were kids or talk about the history of the folklore. Have you had these discussions yet with William yet? Or is he still pretty childlike?
This is a discussion I've had with plenty of friends because actually, a good friend of mine, she had a daughter at one of the schools here.
Mm.
One of the international schools, in fact. And some of the international schools here are quite religious.
Right.
And her daughter was kind of at a bit of an older age. I want to say she was about 11, 12 at the time. So generally a lot of the other her friends at that age had obviously already realized that Santa was non-existent. But, you know, one of the teachers had come out and said, you know, it's the day Jesus was born and, you know, Santa Claus is non-existent and whatnot. And it kind of broke this child's heart because she still believed in Father Christmas. And there was a big issue at the school saying, you know, you can't do this to children.
Right.
My thing is I think at a young age, children have this wild imagination. It's so wild. And here in Korea particularly, we tend to educate our children at a faster rate than a lot of other countries. We tend to get them to read a lot earlier.
Right.
Which I believe personally tends to stifle our imagination a bit because when they're looking at picture books, instead of actually looking at the pictures and kind of letting their imaginations run a little bit wild and take them in a different direction, they're reading the words. So even as adults, a lot of my friends, you'd go and watch a Marvel film and they're like, he flies? That's ridiculous. But when I grew up, like Superman was like, just the concept of someone flying through the air was like, oh my God, I wish I could fly. So to be able to let children have that imagination, run wild with it from a young age, like it's like if children say, is Santa Claus real? It's tough if they come out and I ask you directly because children are kind of like, they get children are suspicious by nature.
They are.
Very suspicious. And I'm not going to say, no, he's not real. I'm going to try and, you know, cover my tracks a little bit better.
Right.
But if they're kind of, if maybe they've got some photographic evidence of me doing something to pretend that I'm Santa Claus. I think it's something you maybe sit down and kind of have a talk, talk them through it. It's not worth living a lie. And because children are going to get, they're going to start talking about it and say, you know, they kind of get in that position where they can get quite pig-headed. You know, they can get quite stubborn. They're like, oh, Dad, why don't you just tell me the truth? You know, stop lying. Why are you acting like that? And if it's getting them upset or they're getting antsy or there's angst that comes with it, there's no point putting them in that position and straight.
Right.
If there's any stress involved, it's like, okay, let's just talk it through and put the cards on the table.
That's the thing. I don't remember at this point if my parents told me or if I found out through, I don't know, a movie or from friends or from peers around me or anything. I don't remember. I don't think I ever asked my folks, hey, is Santa real? But I'm pretty,
I don't think it's through parents that you find. I think it's
probably not.
It's generally through peers. Usually through older peers.
Right.
Or it's through mass media.
Exactly.
It's parents. This is something that as a parent myself, you don't want to destroy this magic because you wake up on Christmas morning. And you see the look in their face. And even on Christmas Eve, and they're like, Father Christmas is coming tomorrow. It's like, what? And they wake up and their faces just light up. And you're like, I wait 364 days a year for this. I don't want anyone to take this away from me. It's like, like the example I gave of my friend's child, if someone took that away from me, I'd be willing to go to prison for that. Seriously, you do not take that away from my child. You do not take that away from my child. I understand people are entitled to their religious views and whatnot. Do not take that away from my child at a young age.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like if they find out through their own devices, through like a movie, mass media.
Right.
But if an adult especially, you know, spoils it for them, I'd be livid. Absolutely livid.
And like when it ties back into the fact that it was a religious school, yes. I mean, I myself am Christian, born and raised. But it's like you know, believing in, you know, what actually happened biblically on Christmas and everything is completely disconnected from just like the Father Christmas folklore. So I'm like, why would you have the need to tie in the two in a school to young kids? I don't get it.
Well, they also go hand in, like, I mean, you can still celebrate both of them.
Right, right.
You can still celebrate both of them on that one day.
Mm.
So you don't need to say, well, you can only celebrate one of them. That's garbage.
Exactly.
I mean, Christmas is 24. It's longer. It's like
it's 72
hours. You can have 3 days. You've got Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day.
Personally, yes. I believe I am great at spotting when people lie to me. And I attribute that because of people that I grew up with. And then also having studied acting.
Sorry, is that are you insinuating that the people you grew up with were liars?
Oh, not everybody, but I did grow up with several people around me that were like, everyone in the class knew they were a liar. Like, they would say the most ridiculous things and we all just kind of were like, what is it this time? Like, you know, I grew up with some kids like that in my classes. And so spotting that kind of lying is pretty easy. But also, when you go into, because I went to college for acting,
mm-hmm.
and you learn about certain like…
tells?
That kind of thing. Yeah. Basically, like what people do when they lie, to put that into your character, you pick up on that on people in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, But do you think you're good at detecting lies from other people?
I generally think I can read people's body language pretty well.
Mm.
So if someone's telling me a lie, I can generally pick up on it. If people are giving me vibes that are weird, I just kind of pick up on that anyway. And just kind of like, I don't want a piece of this.
Yeah, no.
I'm just like, nah.
No.
If people start lying, it's like, nah, just kind of remove myself from the situation.
Exactly.
Generally.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not worth the effort.
No, it's not. It is not.
Yeah.
But
when they're my children, there's not much I can do. I can't just like leave them in the middle of the street.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. It's like, I'm stuck with you now. We're going to work through this.
For at least 18 years.
Yeah.
For at least 18
if not longer.
All right. Fantastic. So now that we've covered some interesting stuff on the topic today, it's time to hop into some questions from our dear listeners. The first one comes from, if I can read, Stay Happy Myself on Twitter. And they ask, what is your alarm ringtone?
Oh.
Do you have an alarm clock or do you use your phone?
I use my phone.
Huh?
My current one, hang on. Oh, let me pull my phone out of my pants. It's actually a custom alarm.
Oh.
So I will have to actually play it for you.
Okay. We are guided way.
There's actually, it's an alarm of my son.
Oh.
Hang on. Now, how do I play this thing? Here we go. Let's see. Edit into here. Here we go.
That's so cute.
That's William. That was like from an episode, one of the episodes of from The Return of Superman.
It's so cute.
Before that, it was like the Imperial March from Star Wars. So it's kind of, I've upgraded my, it's a much happier way to wake up in the morning. I used to wake up like so angry in the morning. I don't know why. Now I just wake up and I'm like, great start to the day. Let's keep going.
Oh my God.
That's so sweet though. That's adorable.
My wife and I actually, we have, and this is our ringtone as well. So we both have the same ringtone. And we both have the same alarm.
Cute. Oh, I feel stupid. Mine's just a song from a musical. Whoops.
What musical?
The Beetlejuice musical.
What's the song?
The title of it's the whole being dead thing. Sounds kind of more, but it's not. It's a very fun number, opening number in the show. But
I didn't even know Beetlejuice had a musical.
Unfortunately, already closed on Broadway because of the whole pandemic. But it's actually very nice. I like it a lot. I love the original movie. But
The movie was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, classic.
So I'm taking it the musical only came out recently then.
I believe it started on Broadway 2018 and it wound up closing 2019. But it's coming to Korea in July, I believe, actually.
Oh, really?
So I'm excited for
Is that with a local cast or a international cast?
I don't know. There's no details on it yet, but I'm curious about that.
Really?
But yeah. So
leave it with me. I'll talk to a few people and find out.
Okay. All right. Well, there's that. So the ringtone question has been answered. We have a really cute one, then a musical theater dork. Anyways, next question. This comes from, if I can read, Omorphix on the Twitter. And they ask, would you rather lose all of the money you've earned this year or lose all of the memories you've gained this year? I mean, we're only 3 months in, but still.
Lose all the money you've earned this year. Hang on. Let me do some quick calculations. I'll lose them. I haven't really had any. My kids have been busy this year, so that's gone into their bank accounts, not into mine. So I'll be good losing my money.
All right.
Keep the memories. I don't have any great memories so far this year either. Can I just lose both of them? And can I just start with something, take something else?
You get three wishes from a genie if you lose both your money and memories.
I'll take that. I'll take the wishes.
Well, there we go. Oh, goodness. And without further ado, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of today's episode. Make sure you send your questions with hashtag Hadig and let us know what should be our next big topic.
Oh. This seems so much shorter than Nonsensible.
Really?
It's a half hour show.
Yeah. Wow. We're very short here.
Wow. It feels like this is just like the opening of Nonsensible.
Well,
we've only just sat down and like, hi, we're listening to Nonsensible with Sam, Dave, and Saul. We've just started the show.
I mean, let's do four more.
Wow. This is crazy. I love it.
But yeah, it's right to the point.
Short and sweet, straight to the point.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. But yes, make sure you send us your questions to hashtag Hadig. Check us out Instagram and Twitter at The Dive Studios. Also youtube.com/Dive Studios or /Dive Pause for full length episodes. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Once again, a tremendous thank you to Sam Hemington for coming out.
I only got to have two sips of my coffee.
Please take some more sips.
Oh my gosh.
Please take
some
sips.
This is incredible. Wow. That was short and sweet. Wow. Well, that was so much fun. I barely took a breath. Nonsensible. Find us on Dive Studios.
Yeah.
You can find me on Instagram, Sam Hemington. There are other things in the works that I can't talk about. Find me when they happen.
Yeah. All right. See you guys on the flip side. Bye.
Bye.
How did I get here? With Jay.